saving money on your interior stains and finishes now at Menards. Provide exceptional color to your staining project with Minwax Color Series. It applies evenly and dries fast with just one coat. Get a quart of Minwax Color Series wood stain in over 240 colors. On sale now through April 12th. Visit our paint desk and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your stain project today. Save big money
at Menards. Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. February 2020, KC, South Carolina. 6-year-old Faith Swetlick disappeared from her front yard while she was outside playing. Everyone sprung into action, and an extensive search was launched, one that would last for just 3 days before it reached a tragic conclusion. This is Faye's story.
KC 911, is your emergency police fire medical?
This moment,
her 6-year-old was in the front yard, and she can't find her now.
This phone call to 911 on February 10th, 2020 would start a kidnapping investigation, sparking national headlines.
We have a unit out that has a dog, just in case we need to try to track her, okay?
Faye Marie Swetlick was born June 13th, 2013 in Lexington, South Carolina, to parents Selena Collins and Chad Swetlick, although they would unfortunately split when Faye was only a toddler. By February 2020, when our story takes place, Faye lived with her mother Selena and Selena's boyfriend in the Churchill Heights neighborhood of KC, South Carolina, a small city just west of Columbia. Monday, February 10th, 2020, 3:45 p.m., 6-year-old Faye arrived home on the bus after school, and as was normal for the little girl, she was outside playing on the porch of the family home, located at 16 London Square in KC, South Carolina. Faye's mother, Selena, was doing some dinner prep inside, keeping an ear out, listening to her daughter play. It was around 4:20 p.m. that Selena realised that she hadn't heard Faye in a moment, so she went outside to check on her, to make sure she was okay. But the 6-year-old was nowhere to be seen. You can imagine panic immediately started to bubble up in Selena's stomach. Because, I mean, obviously you hope that Faye saw a friend and went with them, or got distracted and wandered up the street. But this would be out of character for Faye. She never strayed far from home without her mother. And as a mother who has been in the position where your child isn't where they're supposed to be, your mind immediately thinks of the worst case scenario. You need to hold onto your child physically before you can let that breath out. Selena called up to her boyfriend Carter and told him she couldn't find Faye, hoping that he could point the missing child out of her eyeline, or to just reassure her that they would find Faye right away, that everything was going to be okay. The last time Selena had seen her daughter herself was about 35 minutes earlier, when she'd gotten home from the school bus, 3:45 p.m. Carter was at Selena's side now, and he was right throughout all of this. And together they began to search for 6-year-old Faye Swetlick. The neighbours of the family would hear the two adults calling out for Faye, and they join in searching their own yards and anywhere a small child could be hiding. One neighbour telling Selena she had seen the 6-year-old running towards a fence, a resident shared with Napa Auto Parts. And this was sometime between 3:30 and 4 p.m. Now this is a significant amount of time for a child to be missing. We are talking about as long as almost an hour, if we're thinking about worst case situation. And as we know about missing children cases, every second counts when it comes to finding the child alive and safe. By 5 p.m. and there is still no sign of Faye, 911 was called to report the little girl missing.
Right, and tell me exactly what's happening.
I can't. We can't find my daughter. She was playing outside, and now we can't find her.
How old is she?
She is six. be okay. 7 in June.
All right. I'm going to stand on the line with you, but I'm going to get KCPD on the line, too. But I'm going to stand on the line, so don't hang up, okay?
Okay.
All right, ma'am. You're on the phone with Casey. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Can you tell me what your son's name is?
My daughter's name is Faye Swetlick. F-A-Y-E.
Hold on. Hold on. All right. What was the first name again?
Faye.
F-A-Y-E?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's your last name?
Swetlick.
Spell that for me.
S-W-E-T-L-I-K.
Okay. And what was she wearing?
She was wearing polka-dotted rain boots. A flowered skirt.
Okay.
And a black
kind of shirt.
A black t-shirt that has a neon design on it.
And how long has she been gone?
Last I saw her probably about an hour ago.
How tall is she?
She's 3'10".
3 foot? How much does she weigh?
65 pounds.
All right. You last saw her in the front yard. You didn't see which way she went or anything like that?
No, she was just right in front of my front porch.
First responders were on the scene within minutes, and they immediately organised a search for Faye. Canines, firefighters and a helicopter were brought in, and by 6 p.m. the FBI were called in to assist, as well as the community springing into action. Everyone wanted to help. The search for Faye continued overnight, and by Tuesday morning, over 250 officers and investigators from all over the county had joined in on the search. During the press conference, the authorities reassured the nervous public that they were not leaving any stone unturned, that they were exploring all possibilities. A dedicated hotline was set up for tips, and very quickly almost 300 tips came in. Officers going door to door, asking residents to check any video surveillance they may have. However, at this time anyway, there wasn't enough evidence to point to an abduction. And because of that, no Amber Alert was issued.
If you have home security systems, Ring, Wise Video, anything like that, talk with our investigators and let them reach out and obtain some of that video.
Roadblocks were set up around the neighbourhood, and every car coming in and out was searched. It had now been almost 24 hours since Selena had made the 911 call.
Media no longer allowed to enter the neighborhood. I spoke to one neighbor at the Waffle House nearby who described the search and the emotional roller coaster that followed.
It's a lot.
Beth Kleins, a 7-year resident of the Churchill community, says the area, like a family, is now torn by the disappearance of 6-year-old Faye.
Not knowing, you know, constantly looking out the window, seeing more and more investigators walk by. I mean, I'm just keep looking at the window expecting Faye to pop up and play peekaboo with the cats.
Since her disappearance, Klein says law enforcement has been thorough, questioning neighbors, then questioning again, and even searching homes throughout the day.
They came to ours. They looked in the laundry room, in the washer, in the dryer, in the dishwasher, the fridge, the freezer, in all the cabinets.
The process, although emotionally draining, has been worth it for the chance to find the little girl.
I think it's just the stress level, just the not knowing and just not being able to physically get out there and do anything to help. For me, it's anything I can do. If I've got to answer the same question 100 times to help them find her, then it's worth it to me.
Investigators went to interview Faye's father, Chad, to see if he knew his daughter's whereabouts. Because what do we know when there is a missing or murdered child? It is generally those closest to the child, a parent or guardian, who is responsible. Police going to Chad's home in Rowan County to talk to him. Faye wasn't there, and Chad was quickly cleared of any involvement. His phone records showing that he was home at the time Faye went missing. Authorities didn't know if Faye had simply walked away from her home and become lost, or maybe she'd become injured and unable to come home, or if she had been abducted. But at this point, it was seemingly becoming unlikely that the 6-year-old had gone off on her own accord. Soon, police released a video of Faye getting off the school bus, less than an hour prior to her going missing. Faye wearing a black shirt with the word "peace" on it, a pink flowered skirt, and polka dot rain boots. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Selena and her boyfriend Carter were interviewed. Police weren't willing to rule anyone out. They really had no leads or suspects to go off. During this time, Selena would make an unusual statement. She said she could lead law enforcement to where they could find her daughter, using mother's intuition. Investigators would also search Selena and Carter's cars. And inside Selena's car, they found blood. However, it would be later determined to belong to Selena. This would clear the couple from suspicion in Faye's disappearance. February 12, 2020. Authorities released details of two cars seen leaving the area where Faye lived around the time she went missing. The drivers of these cars quickly came forward, and they were determined not to be involved, only putting the investigation back to square one again. There was no sign of Faye, and no clues pointing to her possible whereabouts. February 13, 2020. This was a normal garbage day for the neighbourhood, so obviously this was of particular interest to the investigators. They wanted to do one last search of the neighbours' garbage bins before any evidence was potentially lost forever. In this search, investigators found something located in the trash of the residence of 602 Piccadilly Square. Authorities describing the evidence as being critical to the case, but at that time, they didn't release any further information than this. Whatever it was, though, it led the police to begin searching the woods in the surrounding area. Unfortunately, this is where they would find the remains of six-year-old Faye Swetlik. After remapping the route in the area they needed to focus on, very quickly, within half an hour, they would find Faye's body. She was partially buried in fresh soil. Faye was only 300 feet, or just over 90 metres from her home. She was wearing a single polka dot rain boot. It would later be revealed the other rain boot was one of the items police found in the trash can of the home at 602 Piccadilly Square. Close to Faye's body, police also found a ladle with freshly dug dirt on it. Faye's autopsy determined the girl died around 8 p.m. on the day she disappeared, February 10, 2020, so about 4 hours after she was taken. However, she had not been in the location where she was found very long, meaning that she was killed somewhere else, and then moved to where she was later found. The medical examiner determined a cause of death due to asphyxiation, that Faye had been strangled by the trash bag that was found around her neck. Around the same time that Faye's body was discovered, police received a phone call saying that a 30-year-old neighbour of the family was found dead, a man who was identified as Cody Taylor, and he lived only about 150 feet or 45 metres from where Faye lived with her mother.
We have found a body that the coroner has identified as Faye Maureen Swetlik. We are now treating this case as a homicide. As this community has been working hard to find Faye and bring her home safely, we wanted you to know as soon as possible. At this time, no arrests have been made. You need to know that this is a fluid investigation and that we are working diligently on it. We also need to inform you that during the course of our investigation, a deceased male was located in the Churchill Heights neighborhood. That investigation has just begun.
During the press conference, police confirmed Faye and Taylor's deaths were linked. Because the garbage bin that led them to Faye's location, that garbage bin had actually belonged to Taylor. Prior to this, Taylor had no criminal record besides a few traffic violations. He'd never been involved with law enforcement. He had been enrolled at the University of South Carolina, studying mathematics. But there is no record of him graduating. According to my research, he most likely dropped out in 2009. Taylor had spent his adult life floating from job to job. But at the time our story takes place, Taylor was working along a wing stop alongside his roommate. 2 days prior to Faye's body being discovered, authorities had shown up at Taylor and his roommate's apartment, and they had interviewed both of them. During their first visit to the residence, the roommate was the only one who was home. This roommate told detectives that he'd been at work when the little girl went missing, and this was later confirmed by the employer to be the case. So he had an alibi for when Faye went missing. Add on to this, the roommate went straight from work to spend the night with his girlfriend. After investigators interviewed Taylor's roommate, he let them search the residence. The roommate identified a full bag of laundries belonging to Taylor. Investigators taking a DNA sample from it, but that wasn't the main item of interest in the apartment. Investigators finding Faye's missing persons poster lying on the table. Investigators would return back to the apartment later that same day because they wanted to speak to Cody Taylor. And Taylor admitted that he'd been home alone at the time Faye went missing, but he'd been sleeping. Taylor then consented to the second search of the apartment, but as before, no evidence was discovered. It was almost the exact same time that Faye was found that Taylor's roommate came home to discover Taylor lying lifeless on the floor in a pool of his own blood. Taylor had suicided by stabbing himself with a knife. However, no suicide note was found, detailing why Taylor had done what he'd done. But because of the timing of Taylor's suicide being suspicious, the apartment where he lived was searched for a third time, and this time they would hit on some potential evidence. That same day, a surveillance camera was collecting footage which would become invaluable. The footage showed police going through the wooded area in their search for Faye. At around 1 a.m. on what was now February 13th, 2020, the same camera picked up on something else. It captured a light coming from a spot in the same area of woods. Someone was moving around in the dark and using something to light up the area. Someone the police would later identify as Cody Taylor. 6 hours later, 7 a.m, cameras picked up Taylor at a local Walmart. Taylor had purchased a garden tool, potting soil and fertilizer. He told a Walmart employee that he was trying to establish a garden, but seemed to have no clear plan for the garden, no real understanding on how to even get it done. Following his trip to the store, Taylor had taken a rideshare back to his apartment. The driver would tell investigators that when he tried to talk to Taylor about gardening, he avoided the subject. This was despite having three large bags of potting soil with him. The driver also said Taylor was nervous about the ongoing search for Faye. The driver asked Taylor if he'd ever met the six-year-old before, and he insisted several times he didn't know the family. About 40 minutes later, 7:45 a.m, the camera that had picked up Taylor moving around the woods in the dark also captured more in the same spot. Police determined that Taylor was carrying one of the bags of soil he had purchased up into the woods where he would bury Faye. The grave where Faye had been buried was full of potting soil. A partially empty bag of dirt was found in a storage unit that was attached to Taylor's apartment. Investigators additionally discovered Faye's DNA in a hamper that belonged to Taylor. Inside the apartment, investigators found a trash bag that were consistent with the ones found around Faye's neck, the same ones used to strangle her. Investigators also found a can of odour-eliminating spray. In an interview with investigators, Taylor's roommate would say Taylor had been using the spray around the time Faye went missing, that this was something that he'd never previously done. But the roommate simply thought that Taylor was just being nervous, even paranoid, because of the smell of marijuana in the home. Both were frequent users. That while the roommate said he'd never smelt a dead person before, he knew something wasn't right. The roommate would also go on to tell investigators that Taylor's mental health appeared to be on the decline since the roommate spent less and less time at home. The forensic evidence would be damning. The dirt-covered ladle that had been found contained Faye's DNA, and Taylor's DNA was also discovered under the girl's fingernails. Investigators were not able to determine whether Faye was abducted by force near her home, or if she was lured into Cody Taylor's apartment. Either way, after Faye was killed, Taylor concealed her body inside his home for the next few days, before he moved her on the morning of February 13th, 2020, to where the little girl's remains would be later found. And this is curious to me, because in that time between Faye being killed and then being moved to where she was found, the police searched the apartment twice, but they never found anything. So, are the investigators wrong with this theory? And is there a second hiding spot Taylor had used before he attempted to bury Faye where she was found? Or did police do a subpar job in searching the apartment? I mean, at the very least, the smell should have tipped off investigators that something was wrong in the apartment, enough to deem the apartment a crime scene and warrant a more extensive search. Police have never been able to establish an official motive as to why Cody Taylor killed Faye. Multiple agencies have been unsuccessful at getting access to his cell phone to further forensically search it for his thought process at the time of the murder and his suicide. But what they have been able to obtain, though, is rather telling. They interviewed the few friends Taylor did have. They would say that Taylor was a member of an online group that was known to hate women and to push other misogynistic views. One friend who knew Taylor for 5 years said that he described himself as an asexual and an incel. That Taylor was a loner who spent most of his time online gaming. That he had a negative outlook on life. Taylor once told this friend he lived his life without hope. Taylor had never spoken about women he was interested in romantically. And the one time that he had shown interest in a co-worker, he was too scared to even talk to her. Taylor's former roommate said he lived with him for years and his room was always a disgusting mess. Taylor never once talked about his family. The roommate said that Taylor seemed very weak, and the only way he could have committed such a horrible act is if he felt like he had people behind him backing him up, such as an online chat room. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. The day after Faye's body was recovered, a public memorial was held for her at Trinity Baptist Church in KC, South Carolina. A candlelight vigil also took place in her honour a few days later, during which time the principal at Faye's school would say about her, quote, "Everyone grew to love her smile, her joyful spirit, and her very kind heart," unquote.
All I could think of was my own kids, if something were to happen to them.
Oh, I think it was terrible. I feel bad for the family. I feel bad for all the people involved.
Faye's mother, Selena Collins, said that she wants people to remember Faye's smile and her love and compassion for others. Quote, "Faye meant absolutely everything to me, even in the darkest times. And even when life got to be the hardest because I am a single mother, or I was a single mother, even when I didn't have anyone else, I had Faye. And I know it's an awful lot to ask for a little child to lean on, but she was always my rock when things got its hardest." Unquote. Selena also said that Faye had boundless energy, from the time she woke up to the time she went to sleep, that she was running at a 10 out of 10 100% of the time. Even still, Faye was always down for a cuddle and a movie with her mum.
That was Faye Swetlick's favorite song, and it was a somber night for the city of KC as the community said goodbye to the six-year-old who captured the hearts of so many. Trinity Baptist Church opened its doors to hundreds who came to pay their respects to Faye. And before the service tonight, people lined the streets for this procession from her home in the Churchill Heights neighborhood to the church. This colorful tow truck carried Faye, her mother, and her pink bicycle to the service.
David Bates is the owner of Diligent Towing in Lexington. He's also a neighbor and friend of Faye Swetlick's family. So he reached out to Faye's family and asked how he could help. He offered up his pink tow truck to escort Faye's mother and her ashes to Trinity Baptist Church for her memorial service.
The community's come together 100%. I mean, we're all blessed to be a part of this.
The pink truck towing Faye's bicycle on the back joined dozens of motorcycles and tow trucks for the two-mile procession to the church. One by one, motorcycles and trucks pulled into the church, greeted by hundreds more, there to show their respect for the little girl who made a big impact during her short time here on Earth.
Faye will be somebody that we remember for the rest of our lives.
Faye Swetlick's funeral was held on February 21, 2021, at Trinity Baptist Church in KC, South Carolina, the expenses being entirely covered by the funeral home, touched by the family and what's happened to Faye. A buddy bench was also dedicated at a local park in her honour.
Feel like you don't have a friend to play with. You can sit down on a buddy bench and somebody else will come and sit down with you and talk to you, or somebody will come up to you knowing that you need a friend. And then, I mean, kids are awesome that way, and then they can go and play together.
Faye would later be described by those who knew and loved her as a happy, kind and bubbly little girl. She loved dresses, fancy shoes and putting on makeup. She also enjoyed spending time with her family. She adored cats and preferred to be playing outside to being inside. Faye was a wonderful and beautiful little girl who should have had a bright future ahead of her. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.